This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.
Welcome. It is the prayer closet. It's that time we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And let us know what your need is today so we can lift it up before the Lord on the prayer closet. You can also email or text to prayer at yeshome.com. Either way, let us know what we can pray for you about. or prayer at yeshome.com. And remember, you always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you don't need to be concerned. If it's something personal, that's fine. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in. We will. God knows who you are, and that's what matters. We just want to pray for you today. So whatever it may be, something big, something small, maybe you're praising God. You know, it's not always a concern, too. Maybe you've got a praise. God answered a prayer. Maybe you called in earlier, shared in earlier with a prayer request, and God answered that prayer, and you want to celebrate that? Well, we want to celebrate with you. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for this time that we have to come together to seek you and to lift each other up to you, to encourage one another with prayer, knowing that we can bring all of our lives to you and that you are a good and faithful Father, that you love us, that you care for us, and that you will meet our every need in Christ. So we thank you, we praise you, we give you all glory this day, because indeed you are worthy of our praise, worthy of honor, worthy of glory. So we thank you, we praise you in all things, and pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God. And today we're going to be in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. Today we're talking about what are our hearts set on. Sometimes you'll hear the expression, you know, oh, I had my heart set on going to Hawaii this winter. Oh, I had my heart set on getting that promotion. Oh, I had my heart set on getting this accomplished or doing that or reaching this goal. And sometimes we say that in disappointment because it didn't happen, or just letting people know, oh, I've got my heart set on this, as a way of saying, this is what I'm working toward. This is what I'm focused on. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's really what we're saying when we say, my heart is set on this. I'm, you know, working these extra hours because I've got my heart set on getting away to Hawaii this weekend or this winter. Come January, it's cold enough. I'm going to be in Hawaii. Working hard, working all these extra hours, saving up money so I can go to Hawaii. It tells about our intentions, why we're doing what we're doing. The fact is, in everything, we do what we do because our heart is set on something. I have my heart set on this. I have my heart set on that. Whatever it is you're doing, it's because your heart is set on something. To accomplish some purpose. Whatever that purpose may be. Well, Paul is talking about having our hearts set on the right thing in Colossians chapter 3. He says this, chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Set your heart on things above. Now that we're in Christ, one of the things that happens is our whole outlook shifts and changes. That it's a set on things above, that everything we do is about God's kingdom. And all the things we do here on earth change, that they shift, the motivation for them shifts, the purpose for them shifts. And it shifts to what we have our hearts set on things above. Just as we used in our illustration before, we have our hearts set on this, so therefore we're acting in these ways. Right? What we set our heart on determines our actions. Well, when we come to Christ, what we set our heart on shifts, and it shifts from this worldly things to kingdom things, from the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of God. And so now the things we do in the kingdom of the world are motivated by our focus on the kingdom of God. It's not that we're taken out of the world, but that what we do in the world is not motivated by worldly things. It's motivated by kingdom things. There's all kinds of worldly motivations for actions. But Paul's saying that's not what we're to be motivated by. The world may say, I want to get rich and earn a lot of money so I can live a really cool, elaborate lifestyle. Go to the best restaurants, go to the best, you know, vacation spots and hotels, have the best cars, have a big house, and enjoy the pleasures of life. That's the worldly motivation. A kingdom motivation for the same kind of behavior. Say, I want to earn a lot of money so that I can fund orphanages throughout Africa. Get a ministry that drills wells for fresh water. Fund, you know, outreach to the impoverished. Two people who are taking the same actions to earn a lot of money, but for very different reasons. One has worldly reasons for that. One has kingdom reasons for that. I think of guys, I forget his name, Blake. I forget what his last name is. But he started Tom's Shoes. You may be familiar with Tom's Shoes. Tom's Shoes are a shoe company that for every pair of shoes they sell, they give a pair away. And they give a pair away to impoverished kids around the world. And it started because this guy who started the company, Blake, was on a mission trip in his youth and to somewhere in Central America. And they were told on this trip that, you know, one of the big problems they had is kids didn't have shoes and that they would get, you know, their feet would get cut up and open and they'd get sores, infections from not having shoes and their feet getting cut up. And it was a real health problem. And kids would get sick and sometimes even die from not having shoes. And he thought, well, we should find a way to give these kids shoes. And what he did, he started a company because he decided he didn't want to do a nonprofit thing where he was constantly having to go around trying to raise money to give kids shoes. He thought, if I could start a company, a for-profit company that made money, but then we use that money, that profits we made, to invest, to fund the getting shoes, then I'd never have to go around begging for money. I can just use the money we're making and use that to fund it. And so he came up with this model Tom shoes, and they found an inexpensive way to make cool shoes. And they charge enough for the shoe that people could still afford it, but they could also give a pair away. And still, his motivation in starting a for-profit business wasn't just to make a lot of money and have a successful business. His motivation was to start a company that made money and was successful so he could provide shoes to kids who did not have them all over the world. And they've distributed millions of shoes to children all over the world. It's a kingdom motivation. He had a kingdom motivation. So his actions are the actions that lots of people undertake to start a business and hopefully that it's successful, that makes money. But his motivation, what his heart was set on, was a kingdom thing. His heart was set on providing shoes to kids who needed them. And that motivated him to start his business. So what we do in Earth, you know, we can engage in many of the same actions that other people start businesses, doing things. But why we're doing them is motivated by the kingdom. We have a different purpose because our hearts are set on things above. They're not set on earthly things. And God has given each of us gifts. In the case of Blake, he gave him the gift of a business entrepreneurship. He's got a sense for that. That's a talent and a gift. And he's using that for kingdom purposes. What are the gifts and abilities God's given you, and how can you use them for kingdom purposes? What's your motivation in using those gifts and abilities? Is it to bring glory to yourself? Is it to do things for yourself? Or have you set your heart on things above? What kingdom purpose is God calling you to use those talents and abilities? When anyone asks you, why do you do this? We should have an answer that's kingdom focused. When they ask you, why do you pursue this avenue in your life? Why do you pursue that avenue in your life? We should have an answer that has a kingdom focus. And if we don't, then we need to go back and question, why am I doing this? And it may be the problems, our motivation is wrong. And maybe that we're doing stuff we don't need to be doing because it doesn't serve a kingdom purpose. And that we need to find something that does. Or maybe we're doing the right thing, but we're doing it for the wrong reasons. And we need to reorient ourselves to a kingdom purpose. And that's true of all the things we choose to do, and it's also true of the things we have to do. Like, you know, when you're young, you got to go to school, right? We got to learn. But that can serve a kingdom purpose. God calls us to grow in knowledge and understanding of the truth. We should pursue education. We should pursue the learning, but we should do it for a kingdom purpose, to better know God, to better know his creation, to better know, as we are being prepared and equipped for service for him. It talks about in the Bible how Jesus grew in wisdom and in knowledge and in stature. He had to grow in those things as he grew up. How are we, you know, applying those things that maybe we have to do to a kingdom purpose? And here's the thing, when we have a kingdom purpose, suddenly the stuff that we're doing, and sometimes maybe the stuff we have to do that's kind of a drudgery, takes on a new life, a new purpose. This isn't just some mundane job I have to do. This is, I'm serving the King. I remember reading a story about a lady. There's a couple stories. One I know of Johnny the Bagger. Another of a lady who did the same thing, bagging groceries. And how people would line up to be in line to have them bag their groceries. To the point where the manager would be saying, hey, we have open lines over here. And people say, no, I want to stay in this line because so-and-so's here and they're bagging the groceries. And they wanted to see that person because in both the case of Johnny the Bagger and this other lady, they invested themselves in the people that were coming through that line. It took time to learn about them. Johnny the Bagger would write encouraging notes and put them in bags. Because he wanted to encourage all the people who were coming through his line. The lady would, and I forget what her name was, she would pray for all the people. She'd pray for them, and she'd ask about their life and say, I've been praying for you. And she'd remember them next time they're through. I was praying about this for you. How did that work out? I was praying for you. Two people who took what might be looked at as a mundane, ordinary job, bagging groceries. How can that serve God? How can that serve a kingdom purpose? It's bagging groceries. It's a pointless, menial job. I mean, it's a decent job. It's a first-time job. You'll learn some job skills, but that's really all we're doing. You're not going to impact the kingdom doing that. And they said, yeah, we can. Because we have a kingdom purpose. Our hearts are set on things above. If my heart is set on things above and God's got me bagging groceries, the question becomes, okay, how can I do this in a way that serves the kingdom? And they found ways to do it. Johnny threw his encouraging notes. A young man who had some mental handicaps, but decided, you know, it didn't bother him. It's not going to stop him. He's serving the kingdom. And everyday people would stand in line and wait in line extra time to get his notes and to see him and talk to him because he was investing into their lives and bringing encouragement to them. He was serving a kingdom purpose. The same way with this lady who just took time to get to know the people coming through her line. He's praying for them and invested in them for kingdom purposes. And it made a difference. And the one lady who was doing this, she passed away but went on to be with the Lord, and thousands of people attended her funeral. She was just a bagger at a grocery store. But thousands of people came to her funeral because they had been impacted by her and her ministry and her work because she had a kingdom focus. Her heart was set on things above. At the end of the day, it matters a lot less what you're doing than why you're doing it. Set your heart on kings above. And then whatever you do suddenly becomes in service to the kingdom and can have a life-changing impact. Doesn't matter whether the world sees your job as important or not, or valuable or not. What matters is serving for the kingdom. So as you're going off to your job today, you're going off to school today, you're going off to do whatever you got to do today, do it with your heart set on things above. And see if God doesn't transform that work into something. And you got a couple of prayer requests in, so let's dive right in there. First listener writing in, asking prayer that a young adult gets a close relationship with God. Lord, we do pray for this young person. You know who they are. Lord, we pray that you would draw them near to you. Draw their heart near to you. Set their heart on things above. Set their heart on you, Lord, that they would seek you in all that they do. We pray that you would move with power and might in them, that they would be encouraged by you, strengthened by you, uplifted by you. And Lord, that their heart, most of all, we pray that their heart would hunger for you. and that you would satisfy that hunger. We pray this in your name. Amen. And another listener asking for peace and comfort for a coworker and her family as the funeral this week. I think her husband passed away. Lord, we do pray for this listener's coworker whose husband passed away. And now this week at the funeral, Lord, we pray for peace over them, strength for them, encouragement for them, Lord. And your word says, blessed are those who are mourning, for they shall be comforted. Lord, we pray that your blessing of comfort would come upon them and they would experience your power and spirit and all your goodness and mercy this week as they are grieving and the loss of this loved one. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And lastly, a listener asking for prayer for my sister's boyfriend, as today is the anniversary of his son's death, and it's a very difficult day for him. And Lord, we do pray for this man as he's mourning the passing of his son, the anniversary of that, and obviously, Lord, a painful day for him, painful memory. We pray healing for him. We pray comfort and peace, Lord, that he would turn to you in this day and find the hope that only you can bring and the comfort and strength that only you can bring. Lord, that they would know your power and might in this day and your great love and mercy. Lord, as they lean into you today for strength and for encouragement and for hope. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you have a prayer request, 419-389-0893 is the number to call. You can also email or text your prayer request to us at prayer@yeshome.com or go online to our website, 419-38 Go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button to get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Thanks so much for tuning in. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.